From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Alan Young. A homeless encampment in Sacramento that was once hailed as a national model was cleared late last month. Camp Resolution was a self-governing community with a unique lease agreement that would allow residents to stay until they found permanent housing. Tensions grew as the city accused campers of violating the lease and refusing the city's offers of shelter. Today on the show, we have CAP Radio reporters Kristen Lamb and Gerardo Zavala on what went wrong and what this experiment says about the city's approach to homelessness. Kristen, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Gerardo, great to have you on.
Great to be here.
Kristen, for those of us who may be unfamiliar with the story, what was Camp Resolution?
It was a self-governed homeless encampment in North Sacramento on Arden Way and Colfax Street. About 50 people, mostly women and disabled people, lived there. It got started in fall of 2022 when people began camping at the lot after the city canceled its plans to open a sanctioned camping ground there. But instead of sweeping them, the city later that next spring signed a lease with a nonprofit organization called Safe Ground Sacramento. Under it, they could stay in trailers and RVs, but not tents. A group of resident leaders ran the camp and set the rules. It was intended to be a pilot program.
So you mentioned a threat of clearance, and there was actually a few threats, right, that it would be cleared. And then finally that happened late last month. So what was the tension all about, and why didn't those prior threats materialize?
Yeah, so before the lease, there was discussion about sweeping it, but supporters urged them to allow people to stay. Then this spring, there was tension over special permission from the water board allowing camping despite the contaminated soil. It was going to expire, and there was disagreement on who was responsible for getting it extended. And the city sent a letter ordering residents to leave by mid-May. The Sacramento Homeless Union, which represents people that were living there, filed a lawsuit arguing that the city was violating the lease by trying to get them to leave before they all got permanent housing. But then after that, the water board permission got extended, so the city backed off. But then the nonprofit that was leasing the property ended it, saying that it couldn't meet its obligations. So the city ultimately closed the camp about 2 weeks ago.
So, and 2 weeks ago, Gerardo, you were there, right? What was it like to watch the dismantling of this encampment?
So what was interesting is we weren't actually allowed to go into the camp. So they had like this tape set up and all the journalists had to stay behind it. But I was able to get onto this overpass and look into what was happening in the camp. So we saw bulldozers kind of picking up all the belongings and trash left behind. Lots of tow trucks coming in to tow the RVs that were left there and any broken down cars. But yeah, we really weren't able to get it in there and see what was actually happening.
But eventually you were able to talk to residents from the camp?
Yeah, so on that day I spoke to John and Valerie Bowen, and they had been living there for 2 years. They moved there after their son had died, and they said it was a place that allowed them to mourn, and they were surrounded by people who understood what they were going through. So losing the encampment was a really big deal for them.
And what was their emotional state, and the other, you know, what were the emotions going on with the people who were being uprooted?
They were definitely distraught. A lot of people had no idea what to do, and even though there were a lot of services being offered, it was hard for them to process and really narrow down what their options were.
Let's also talk about the city workers who were there and the police who were there. You mentioned there was like a crime scene tape, which is interesting, kind of different, right? But beyond that, was this seen as like a good faith effort? Like, what was your sense of like, were the workers there trying to soften the blow to the residents and direct them into housing and social services? Or was this like an aggressive sweep?
It definitely wasn't aggressive. It definitely wasn't good faith, both on the city and police side, which is why it was strange that we weren't allowed to go in and, you know, get photos and document what was happening within the camp. But from what we saw, everything was pretty normal.
Normal meaning there were workers there that were trying to help transition folks into whatever their next steps may be, some sort of social safety net.
Correct.
I understand that you returned to the property a week later. What was that like? Was anyone still there?
Yes. Yeah, so Kristen and I went there and we did find several people who used to live in the camp, still living in the area. One of them was Adan Seha. He had lived in the camp for a while, or actually right outside the camp. He had a tent, but he was friends with a lot of people in the camp, and he lost connection with a lot of them. Here's what he had to say.
They keep moving us everywhere, everywhere. They don't want us in at the levee, by the water. Where they want us to go from here? We can't go nowhere, because eventually from here they're going to move us.
So Crystal Sanchez, president of the Homeless Union, said he hasn't been able to get a tiny home or trailer at the Roseville Road site as of yesterday. She said another former Camp Resolution member also went to Roseville last week, but there were no spaces available.
So that said, you did say there was a good faith effort by city workers to offer this housing, and housing, or at least shelter, what has been offered has been rejected by some residents, right?
Yes, that's correct. So when I was talking about the Bowens earlier, John and Valerie, they said they had three offers. One of them would require them to get rid of two of their dogs because they were only allowed to bring in one dog per person and they had four. They only had one or two dogs when they first went in, but they ended up adopting these two dogs who were abandoned either near the camp or in the camp. So that was a big deal for them. They didn't want to do that. Another one was offering them a place, but they were going to have to be separated. So they were talking about how for 27 years they've been sleeping together in the same bed and then having to be separated into these, what they described, aluminum coffins. And mind you, they're like half the size of your standard RV.
That's the tiny house that's
yes.
been offered by the city?
Okay. Yes. So that was also not an option they were willing to go with. And then another one they said was had an 8:30 p.m. curfew, which, you know, given that they're trying to get jobs, a lot of jobs are nighttime jobs, right? So that was also an unreasonable request that they couldn't meet.
So I imagine there are some people that might be listening with a perspective that, well, this actually is kind of reasonable, right? I mean, they're offering free housing. The people offering that housing are running an organization and, you know, coming up with restrictions like no pets and a curfew. I imagine that was because they've had problems in the past and they came up with rules. Considering, you know, the magnitude of the public health crisis of homelessness in Sacramento and in California, that could be a strong point. So what would be a counterpoint from the residents, you know, to say like, look, these are the rules and this will get you off the street?
Yes. Yeah, so like I was mentioning the dogs before, I mean, these people had just lost their son, right, 2 years ago. And a lot of what they have to live for are these pets, right? So to them, that was a very big deal. They can't just, you know, leave two of their dogs and it's hard to choose, right? And I think a lot of people who have pets would understand that sentiment. And as I was saying before about the curfew, that is another big thing. There aren't that many jobs out there available for people who don't necessarily have degrees, and a lot of jobs do require you to work really late into the night. So having a curfew is another thing that's really difficult.
So it's like you're someone's trying to do the right thing. They're trying to get a job. They're trying to get on their feet, and they're saying, you know, a lot of jobs are going to go past 8:30. This isn't going to work. And then on the pets thing, it's like, well, a lot of us consider our pets our family members, but you take away your house, your job, your whole support network. You think about how much important that pet is at that point.
Exactly.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. If you're just joining us, we're talking with CAP Radio reporters Kristen Lamb and Gerardo Zavala about Camp Resolution, a city-sanctioned homeless encampment that the city dismantled last week for a variety of reasons. Kristen, beyond the issue with the lease and the toxicity of the property, what were the factors at play as to why Camp Resolution didn't work out?
Another was that the city declared it a fire hazard. They said that the arrangement of cars and tents made it difficult for first responders to get in and out for emergencies. And there were also people who set up tents and lived in their vehicles outside of the property, which the lease didn't allow. Here's what Mayor Daryl Steinberg shared on the city's approach to closing it.
I believe we have an obligation to offer people help. And when it's offered, especially when there are multiple choices and options for people, they have an obligation to accept the help, because we cannot have people living in squalor. And Camp Resolution, well intended, but didn't really work out. there were more people than were part of the program who ended up going there. There were a lot of significant problems around drugs and other issues that really affect the innocent, unsheltered people who are just trying to get by.
So elsewhere in Steinberg's comments, he talked about the Sacramento Homeless Union actually blocking the residents of Camp Resolution from meeting with the city outreach workers who were trying to offer them steps toward housing. Were you able to substantiate that assertion?
Yeah, representatives have described city outreach workers and officials visiting the camp as trespassers that were scheming to close it. And they've generally discouraged discussion of moving into temporary shelter, saying it's not the permanent housing promised in the lease, which really did say that people could stay until they all got permanent housing. But city officials and outreach workers did meet with people at the camp, including back in July. Around then, the homeless union said it had connected 16 people to housing in the past year without the city's help.
So the original plan was to offer permanent housing, but they ran into challenges with that. There was people that were camping on part of the encampment that they shouldn't have based on the toxicity of the environment. So the city was trying to offer, but they just didn't have all the housing options. But what housing options were available? What was offered?
In the couple of weeks right before the closure, the city gave three. One was the Roseville Road site that Gerardo mentioned earlier. Another was the Outreach and Engagement Center, which has dorm-style shelter and motel rooms, although Sanchez with the homeless union says the city only placed one person in a motel room.
Do you know where the other residents of Camp Resolution went? Have you stayed in contact with anybody?
According to the city, 10 people agreed to move into shelters by the end of the day of the closure. Unfortunately, haven't been able to reach people that I have contact info for, but I touched base with Sanchez yesterday on some residents who are at the highest risk. She said one person is still in that city-provided motel room. A community member is letting someone else stay with them for a month. And then there's another who's staying in a hotel room funded by community donations. She says the majority of the former residents have scattered outside trying to set up camp where police can't find them because they kept clearing people who were setting up camp outside of the property over the past 2 weeks. Which is now empty.
So fortunately, some people were able to find a pipeline into housing, but the majority, no.
Yes.
And so when we look at Camp Resolution on the whole, just in your view, in what ways did it succeed and in what ways did it fail?
Yeah, I mean, I think that a major failure was the breakdown of communication, some of the pointing fingers on both sides. But a Sacramento State social work professor who studied Camp Resolution says it did have some successes, including how clean it was compared to other encampments and how people without a lot of resources helped each other. And he said that the waiting list, how it was 800 people long at one point, showed that people saw it as a desirable, safe place. Here's what Arturo Bayaki told me.
It was organized, but it was organized by the people themselves. And what I see in other programs is sometimes people move into housing and they're isolated and they feel disconnected and they feel like they're going through this by themselves. And that sense of community is really important. You know, there's a good, clear research that this impacts your mental health, your sense of your trajectory out of homelessness. And this did it organically. And that's what I was interested in. It's like, okay, you gave people power to kind of define their situation, some self-determination.
So, Kristen, Camp Resolution came up as a topic last week in the mayoral debate. What were the perspectives of the two mayoral candidates, Assemblymember Kevin McCarty and Dr. Flo Coffer?
McCarty said it was a disaster because it was built on a toxic site. He recommended Cal Expo as a better alternative. Meanwhile, Dr. Coffer says it fell apart because the city didn't truly partner with the residents. She proposes the city try self-governed homeless encampments again in the future.
So we have these competing narratives. What do you think? Why didn't the camp work out?
Yeah, I mean, I think the main issue was trust. Both the union and the city blame each other. The Safe Ground executive director also raised concerns about the union's actions. And perhaps the lease agreement might have also been unrealistic, saying it can continue until everyone got permanent housing, even though there were other conditions like keeping the property safe.
So one of the differences between Assemblymember McCarty and Dr. Flo is the level of enforcement on a no camping ban. And I'm curious, what do you think this experience of Camp Resolution has taught the community, or at least informed us about the challenges of transitioning people from encampments into shelter or ideally permanent housing?
I think it's reinforced the value of a sense of agency for residents to determine their living situation. When people don't have that, it can be challenging for people to feel like they have a say, whether they're moving into temporary shelter or permanent housing. You know, people who live in encampments, they're real people with their own circumstances. And trust is really crucial between the city, advocates, nonprofits, and residents. And leases can also be more complicated when the person or the organization with the lease is not the main organization saying it represents residents.
I'm curious to hear from both of you. What do you think comes next? Is the story of Camp Resolution finished, or could this model continue some way in the future?
Well, the homeless union is still continuing its lawsuit against the city, saying it violated the lease by threatening to close the camp before everyone got permanent housing. And the union also filed a federal civil rights complaint against the city for destroying the camp.
Roberto?
Yeah, so a lot of the people we spoke to, you know, see this Camp Resolution as not a failed experiment, but something that they could try again. And that's the sentiment we've been hearing, that they want to try this again. There's no clear path of doing that, or where they're going to do it, or if they're going to work with the city, but it's clearly there, that sentiment.
But where's the city? Have they chimed in? Have they given any indication that they have an appetite for this kind of thing again?
At this point, no.
Kristen, Gerardo, thanks for coming on and sharing your story and your reporting with us.
Thank you for having us.
Kristen Lamb and Gerardo Zavala are CAP Radio reporters who have been following the story of Camp Resolution since its closure at the end of last month. Up next, we'll explore concerns about the growing trend of vaping among students in Sacramento schools. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Alan Young.